You know what it is. That's right. It's time to talk money with your money nerd and financial coach. Now, tighten those purse strings and open those ears. It's the Money Talk with Tiff podcast.
Hey everyone, I'm so excited because I have Gigi here on the line. So Gigi is known as the first gen mentor, and she's here to talk to us about what it looks like as a first generation wealth builder. So hey Gigi, how are you?
Hey Tiffany, thanks for having me on the podcast. Hi everybody.
Yes, I'm so honored to have you. So let's just hop right in. First of all, what is a first generation wealth builder if people are listening and have no idea what we're talking about?
Yeah, for anybody who's not familiar with the term, it would be the first person in their family to escape the cycle of poverty. So instead of just living paycheck to paycheck, they actually have the financial means to build wealth. So that's wealth that they can pass on to others, to future generations, and to make their lives easier. You know, from my background, coming from immigrant roots, my parents and my grandparents and great grandparents before that, they lived in paycheck to paycheck cycle. So really, I was the first that got the privilege to go to college and be able to earn a higher salary. But since I never learned how to manage money or build wealth, because again, my family was never fortunate enough to have the privilege to have it, it's something that I've had to learn. And I'm sharing this knowledge with others.
Gotcha. So you've pretty much like learn as you go, and I'm going to share as I learn.
Yeah, totally. Oh yeah. I'm like, I'm learning and let's bring others with me.
Gotcha. So let's dive a little bit deeper into your story. So what did that journey look like for you? Like, how did you decide, okay, I want to go to college. This is the life I want. This is what I choose to do. Like, take me through that.
Yeah. So as a daughter of Mexican immigrants, my whole childhood, I always heard you have to go to college. You have to go to college to have a better life than we did, because both my parents work low paying jobs. So my mom has worked in retail her whole life. My dad, he does own a small business, but it's like one person show. He rents party rentals and supplies. So he's a small business owner. And I took that to heart because that's what I heard growing up, to get good grades and go to college. Didn't really have much direction beyond that from my parents because they had never navigated academia or anything like that. So I had heard you should get a major in a, you know, major that's employable, if what they call it, I say. Because again, as a daughter of immigrants, I didn't have a safety net. So I really had to pick a major that made sense and I'd be able to get a job right away. So I decided on economics, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed learning econ and I was good at math, so that came naturally to me. So I went to school at UC Santa Barbara. I was a transfer student. So after 2 years at community college, then I transferred to UC Santa Barbara, majored in economics. And then I got my first big girl job working at an insurance company, doing auto claims. So totally not using my econ degree at all, but it was a fun job and I met a lot of cool people. And actually some of my best friends are still from that job. So that was a purpose for sure of me working that role. And then after about 3.5 years, I didn't feel professionally fulfilled from my insurance job. I didn't feel that I was using my econ degree. So I pivoted. I pivoted to investment consulting and then investment management towards the end of my corporate career. So throughout my 10-year corporate career, I struggled with money, which I was very confused by because I felt that I had done what I was told to do, and that was to go to college and get an office job. And I had that. I had checked those boxes, but I still found myself struggling with money, and I didn't realize why. So it wasn't after several financial hardships that it hit me. It's like, oh, it's because I'm not managing the money that I am earning well because I was never taught this at school or by my immigrant parents.
That is so real. I always tell people you cannot out-earn, poor spending habits. And mm-hmm. It sounds like you learned that firsthand for sure.
Yeah.
Now, getting into that, when did you decide, okay, Gigi, you know, you kind of have this down pack. Let's start teaching people about this. Like, what was the thought process behind that?
Yeah. So first it looked like, okay, I cannot keep going through financial emergencies. You know, I had a lot of bad boyfriends that I was stuck living with or toxic bosses. Yeah, you know, these crazy Craigslist roommates that I could not escape from. Just a lot of situations that I felt trapped in because of lack of money. So I said, this has to end. This has to end. And I'm going to teach myself how money works. So I read over 50 personal finance books. Once I started, I just couldn't stop. And once I felt that I had mastered the knowledge, I'm like, okay, cool. Now I have a plan for myself of what steps I'm going to take to get myself into a better financial position. But I also felt a bit angry that I didn't have this knowledge, knowing that some other people did have the privilege of getting some basics taught by their parents. So I said, how can I share this new knowledge with other women, specifically women of color? So I literally Googled like how to teach financial literacy to others. And I came across a nonprofit called the YWCA. Mm-hmm. I was living in Phoenix at the time, and they were accepting applications for volunteer financial educators. All that they asked were that you worked in the financial sector, which I did. So that's how I did that for almost 2 years. That was my life, very much working my 9-to-5 job and then on the side, volunteering in my community as a pro bono financial educator.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm learning so much about you as well as the audience. So it's good to hear your story. Now, let's dive a little deeper into the first generation wealth builders thing. Do you mm-hmm. find that there's quite a bit of people going through this? And if so, if someone's listening, that's like, this sounds like me, what are some things you would tell them? Like, let's say one thing, like, because it feels like, it seems like it would be a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of pressure because, again, you are starting. Some people say that we start at zero. I would argue that we start in the negative because a lot of us do have to take out student debt to be able to even be able to go up the economic ladder, right? And to gain economic prosperity. So, I mean, when I graduated from college, I graduated this, how long ago? It was 2011, 13 years ago. So I graduated with $50,000 in debt. About 30, 35 of that was my student loans. And then the rest was credit card debt as well as my car notes. So I entered adult world with no money skills, this new salary and a ton of debt and no plan on how to pay it off. So I think it's a very common experience for a lot of firsts, so whether you're the first in your family to go to college, the first in your family to be in corporate spaces, the first to be the first generation wealth builder and have that ability to build wealth and get out of the paycheck to paycheck cycle, it's a lot. It's a lot to learn because, you know, financial literacy can seem like a foreign topic to many. There's a lot of jargon that somebody has to learn to really feel comfortable with the language of money. And on top of that, a lot of first generation wealth builders like myself, we have financial obligations to our extended family. So for example, my family very much views me as the one who has quote unquote made it because I went to college and I got a degree and they never got that privilege. So that comes with the expectation that, you know, if they ever need money, I'm the one that gets tapped on the shoulder. So whether they need money for a medical expense or the roof caved in or whatever the emergency is, I'm the one that's looked to. And, you know, at first when I was younger, it was an honor. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is why I went to college, to be able to help my family. But I quickly learned that just giving and giving and giving without any sort of boundaries or any goals for myself was just digging me in a hole. And I started resenting my family, to be honest. So I learned that I had to learn how to balance, you know, wanting to give back, but also taking care of my finances first.
As you were talking, I was thinking about asking you, have you ever been in a situation where your family needed or wanted money from you, but you didn't have it to give? So how would those situations play out previously?
Oh, absolutely. And this has been more than once. You know, it's funny because I found in my work very much this is divided in half. So I'm a TikToker. So half of my followers are like, oh, my parents or family never asked me for a dime. So if they ever needed anything, I'd give them the shirt off my back. And the other half, which is a half that I can relate to, is like, oh, yeah, my parents, I'm the first person they hit up because, again, I'm the one that's viewed as the one who made it. So yeah, I definitely have been put in that situation where I've been asked for, I think it was $7,000 for a surgery bill that I did not have. And they're like, well, you have a credit card. Your credit card has a $10,000 line. You can charge it there. And that was a whole issue, you know, because they thought, well, okay, you don't have cash, but you have a credit line. We don't have a credit line. We're family. You should let us use that credit line. So yeah, it's been hard. Yeah. That's just one of many.
Yes, I can imagine. And I have friends that are from like Africa and places in the Caribbean and things like that. And, you know, it's because you're in America, you know, I feel like just have it made when in reality, like most of us are just broke. Like most of us don't really have the money. We have credit and we have debt. But as far as just, you know, cash laying around, it's usually not a thing. But that's just the facade, you know, that Americans have. But with that being said, you do have a book that recently came out. Can you tell us more about that and how this relates to your story?
Yeah, of course. Thank you. The book is called Cultura en Cash, which means culture and cash. Lessons from the First Gen Mentor for Managing Finances and Cultural Expectations. And it's the book that I wish I would have had as a young adult navigating money for the first time. I speak in jargon-free terms because I know that that's a big barrier to people learning financial literacy. And I also provide actual money tips and my framework called the First Gen 5 to have people have a roadmap to follow to really get into a solid financial footing.
Yes. Yeah. So First Gen 5, if you could just give us a brief overview of what that looks like or what the different steps or tips are.
Sure. Of course. So I wanted to identify what pillars of the personal finance world would make the most sense for a first generation wealth builder. And the reason I wanted to do this is because I know as somebody who was first learning about money, it can be very overwhelming. There's so much to learn at first, right? About real estate and should I do crypto and should I try index funds? Like what? It's just, there's so many things going on. So I said, okay, let me package it into like a starter pack. Like focus on these five things and then you will get yourself into a solid foundation. So the five things are focus on building an emergency fund, learn how to budget, create a debt payoff strategy, learn how to build your credit, and start investing. And then I say, if you do those five things at the same time, you'll be taking care of past you, current you, and future you. So it's like a holistic approach to money.
Oh, I love that, Gigi. I cannot wait to dive into this book for sure. Now, if people were listening, they're like, oh, like this really resonates with me. I know I have some listeners that are first-gen wealth builders and even Mexican. and so if they're like, this sounds like me, how could they get more information from you, whether that's social media or how can they even get the book?
Yeah. So if you visit culturaencash.com, you will see the links to buy the book at all the online retailers like Amazon, bookshop.org, Barnes & Noble, all that good stuff. And if you go to that same website, culturaencash.com, you will also find the links to my socials. I'm active on TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'll make sure I have all of that information in the show notes for you all. And thank you so much, Gigi, for coming on the show today and sharing your story and learning more about you and your book.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. I had a great time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, joining, and being a part of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast this week. You can check Tiff out every Thursday for a new Money Talk podcast. But if you just can't wait until next week, you can listen to previous podcast episodes at moneytalkwitht.com or follow Tiff on all social media platforms at Money Talk with T. Until next time, spend wise by spending less than you make. A word to the money wise is always sufficient.